This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, 1 hour down, two more to go. Appreciate you guys being with us here on a Sunday. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. And Mike, we are, as we went to break, I said, so we know there's a 3-under out there on the course because Rory McIlroy in the clubhouse at 67. He makes 6 birdies on the day. And so there is at least a 3-under out there because that is in the clubhouse. Now, it is one of the top 5 golfers in the world, so take that for what you will, but there is a 3-under out there.
Yeah, we at least know you can put it up, put a number up. And the 6 birdies, I think, is a positive sign if you're trying to root for someone to come from the back because, you know, you get rid of the bogeys there, which are obviously very tough to do at Oakmont there. You can at least go 5-under, 6-under. Now, we've seen the best round of the tournament at 5-under from Sam Burns a couple days ago. It would be hard to replicate that, but at least there's a pipe dream for those guys sitting at, you know, 3-over, 4-over, if they can go very low and get the leaders to come back a little bit.
Yeah, so we shall see. I went ahead and put in a little bit of Victor. Hey, let's just lose more money on this tournament. So I'll put in a little Victor. Like I said, I think that he's my cutoff. I know Jeff said he would go as far back as some of those guys that are. I don't know. I can't get there. I don't think they all collapse at the top, and they might. You know, I mean, none of them are proven killers. I mean, Sam Burns has won multiple times on tour, so it's not like this is a guy that hasn't won before. He's just never won a major. Adam Scott obviously has. JJ Spahn less so, but Victor Hovland has won the tour championship. I mean, like, so there are some dudes up there. So coming back from 1-over for Tyrrell Hatton, I don't know. I don't know if I can get there. Yeah.
Yeah, I ended up playing Hovland Spahn. You can get them in a head-to-head matchup. Hovland's -115. So I just played Hovland at -115 against Spahn. I think that you have a much more seasoned player, someone who has been there before, top 15 in the world in Hovland and Spahn, who, again, I feel like has been dancing through the raindrops for 3 straight rounds. At some point, that regression monster has to come, and it may not come today, right? But I'm willing to take a chance here with Hovland, who I think is just more seasoned up top. You can get him -115 head-to-head with Spahn.
Yeah, and Mike, you know, anybody that plays golf, I think, can understand. Like, I know we talk about nerves and you're like, they've already played 3 rounds and all that. Yeah, but guys, how many times have you ever stood on a tee box and the group behind you catches up to you? And then so then they're sitting there. You don't know, you know these people. You'll never see them again as long as you live. And yet you tee it up and you're sitting there going like, oh man, don't shank this. Like in front of this group behind, like, you shouldn't care at all because we're not playing for millions of dollars in major championships. But like those guys sitting in the cart behind you as you're on the tee box, it's in the back of your mind like, oh man, don't shank this in front of these guys. And whatever. Now imagine you're playing for a major, you're 1 stroke behind if you're JJ Spahn or whatever, and you've got 10,000 people standing there watching you hit the shot. Like it does hit different.
Well, just think about how hard it is to break certain milestones in golf. I tried to break 80 for 6-7 straight months and just kept, you know, I needed to par out with 2 left or par the last hole. And mentally, it's just so hard when you know what's on the line. And this is just to break 80, not to win a major, right? And so it hits different when you have these huge moments in your golfing life. Obviously, me breaking 80, nothing close to winning the U.S. Open. But I guarantee you, Spahn didn't sleep great last night.
Yeah.
He's thinking about some stuff here going into this final round. And I would say the same for Sam Burns. Adam Scott obviously been there before, but and Sam Burns, very good golfer. And like you said, he's closed out. He's won multiple tournaments. But at the same time, you're now going to sleep with the lead on Saturday night at the U.S. Open. That is different than the RBC. Yeah. That is different than these minor events. It will be interesting to see how they deal with the pressure today.
Good day yesterday. Can we keep it rolling on here today? Let's head to the track.
Saddle up, partner. Want to bet the horses with Mike Somich?
When I bet on horses, I never lose. Why? I bet on all the horses.
It's time to pony up.
Giddy up.
Golf stream today. We're going to have race 6 and race 8, but let's start there at Gulfstream race number 6. What are we looking at here, Mike?
Yeah, we got a mandatory pick 6 payout over at Gulfstream. Starts in about 25 minutes. They're expecting about $1.5 million in the pool, 20-cent bet, if you want to get involved over there at Gulfstream Park.
Hold on, explain this to everyone.
So a pick six is essentially picking the winner of six straight races in a row. And one thing that's become popular in horse racing is jackpot pools, jackpot pick sixes. So very small denomination, 20 cent minimum bet. And you have to be the only ticket to scoop a jackpot. That is highly unlikely because you have hundreds of thousands of dollars bet into these every day. So let's say you get $200,000 bet. Well, a 20 cent denomination, that means you have a million different ticket combinations. You have to be the sole winner to scoop that jackpot. So not a great bet when it's a jackpot wager, because not only are you dealing with the takeout, the money the track takes, you're also dealing with the takeout from the carryover. So it's not a great bet when it's not a mandatory payout day. When it's a mandatory payout day, it means all the money that's built up from no one hitting the single ticket jackpot, that all gets paid out today, which means that it's a great opportunity to play into these pools because you've got dead money just sitting there to be able to take a shot at. And so that starts in race four over at Gulfstream. That's about 25 minutes away. And my single today in the pick six is going to be in race number six. I'm going to start out a daily double here for the Pony Up segment with the number two horse Hot Cargo for trainer Safi Joseph Jr. This is a horse that has been awesome since being claimed out of the Drexler barn, been in the Safi Joseph barn the last two races, won both of those races at five furlongs over this Gulfstream Park turf. That's the same course and distance we'll be covering today. Also lone speed today. There was a major scratch in this race where you saw the other speed horse come out. I think that means that the number two horse, Hot Cargo, is going to be able to go gate to wire. Not going to be a big price, though. So we're going to try and pair this up in a daily double and create a little bit of value around it with the number six horse, Zozan, in the seventh race at Gulfstream Park. This is a low-level claimer race. Zozan, a horse that's going to be coming off the bench for Safi Joseph as well, gets the top jockey in his barn, Edgar Zayas, aboard. Any of the last two races win this. If you go back further, he probably wins this with four or five different races on his card. You're getting 7-2 in a very big field. Since this is low-level claimers, there's a lot more variance. You're not going to get the consistency that you see from high-level horses, but I'm willing to take a shot here with the number six at 7-2. So race number six, daily double, 2 with 6, Matt.
I like this. I'm sitting here. So I'm starting to plug in my pick six. So we're going race 4-9, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then I pick the winner of 4-9, which I'm very likely to do, and then I'm going to win, and I win $1 million, right? Is this what happens?
If you are the only ticket, you will win $1 million. And the nice part about this pick six, too, it's cost 20 cents for the denomination, for the base wager. You can pick three or four horses in each race. So if you single the two horse in race number six and the two wins, you can play four horses in every other race, and the ticket costs you $150, $160. If you play four horses in four of the other five races and three in the other one, I think it's $111, right? So there's ways to really focus in on one horse and then build around that horse, try and find some prices. And if you're lucky enough to do so, these generally pay out a few thousand dollars. I would say anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000 today is what I would expect this to pay out if we're able to get a couple prices in. So a good pool to play into if you're new to horse racing. It's a lot of work to handicap six races, but it is a good pool to play into.
Mr. Narcissistic in race number five. Just everyone. Race number five, Mr. Narcissistic. Okay, let's head to race number eight.
Yeah, race number eight here. We're going to go up in class. This is we'll call it the feature of the day. It's $62,000 optional claimer N2X, mile and a 16th over the turf course here. And I love the number six, California Frolic, who's dropping down in class, has run in stakes races in, eight straight races now. There was two grade three races in there. Now we're dropping down to a much more realistic level. The horse had been going long, so running at mile and a half, 2 miles in the previous season here. Now we're cutting back to a mile and a 16th, but we debuted this season at that mile and 16th distance. They went very fast that day, 1:38.4, which is an incredibly quick time. They should run around 1:42. And this horse was closing like a rocket late, just ran out of ground, has had success going a mile and 16th before, has won at a mile before. So not overly concerned around the distance here. I think California Frolic dropping in class gets a great trip. And your favorite's a horse that's never touched the turf. So I'm willing to take a shot against the 7 Steel Sunshine here. So give me the number 6, California Frolic. 7-2 on the morning line.
Ninja Star is in this race. That's a good one, man. No Ninja Star?
I think Ninja Star has a shot. A price here that you might want to include is the 2 Eyes on the King. Probably the leader. And speed usually does hold. Ninja Star actually beat Eyes on a King last time out. Ninja Star in a new barn. And that was the main reason I did not use the 1 Ninja Star. But I do think the 2 has a shot at taking this field gate to wire at 5-1 as well, Matt.
All right, I'm fading Beach Gold in that one. Is that a smart play or is that not a smart play?
Logical winner. But I don't hate the idea of fading either the 4 or the 7 in that spot because I don't think you can use both and still get value out of your ticket.
Okay, Pirates and the Cubs. This one coming in about 10 minutes. You're going to play against Mitch Keller here.
I'm going to play on Mitch Keller. Give me the Cubs team total under 1.5 plus 124 in the first 5 here. Look, Keller's been good, and it's just things have just not gone well for him. I think this is a great spot for Keller to be able to pitch well against a Cubs team where if you look at his strikeout rate, you look at his ground ball, fly ball rate, all of it positive. He's just been kind of unlucky sitting at 1-9 on the season. This is another situation. We talked about it yesterday. Wind blowing in, 10 miles per hour at Wrigley. Very good pitching conditions. No Kyle Tucker in the lineup today. All of those positives for Mitch Keller, who I think able to handle this Chicago offense specifically because of the weather conditions. We talked about prices and making sure you're getting the right price in some of these win games. Didn't fire at the under 4 first 5 yesterday. That would have cashed. I'm going to go with the Cubs under 1.5 first 5 today. I like the plus 128 that's attached to it, Matt. That makes a difference for me in this spot.
I'm making 576 bets.
That's not bad. That cost you what? $120?
$115.
There you go.
So there we have it. Listen, I'm doing this. Guys, if you haven't already, get you an Edge Boost account. It is the first bank account built for bettors out there. You don't get the fees. You get cash back rewards. And again, you've made that trip to the ATM and your bank has told you no. Edgeboost.bet and use the promo code BET today over at Edge Boost. Again, edgeboost.bet.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, Matt Brown and Mike Somich. And now coming to us live from the press box up in Omaha, Nebraska, Nick Hathcote from College Baseball Insiders in Hathcote 413 over on the Twitter machine. Nick, appreciate you making the time. And you got a game going on right out there, and you do actually have a thought here in this one. And, you know, look, it's early on, so people can still follow you.
Yeah, it can still be live bet for sure. There's some books out there that offer that live betting in college baseball. I like Arizona in this one. Just really like the pitching matchup favors them over Louisville, especially once you get in the back end as well, where the bullpens line up. I really like Arizona in this one. It was a play I had at minus 110. So if you can get a live number around that, it's definitely still worth a play.
It's been interesting to see Rosenblatt change over the years. I was fortunate enough to go there back, 2003, when the ball absolutely flew out of that stadium. Mm-hmm. You had the metal bat ping going on, and it was runs galore in the College World Series. We've seen that shift, and you're kind of taking that angle in the second game, the winner's game here, Coastal Carolina taking on Oregon State. What do you like in this spot?
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of touched on it. The overs right now are 1-3. This is a very under-friendly ballpark throughout the years, and especially this year. There's been 4 games played. We've seen 2 total home runs in those 4 games. The only game that went over was the first one between Coastal, and that was because they put up 3 runs, I believe, in the 8th inning, and it went over by 1 run. So what I'm doing in this late game, we have 2 aces going, Jacob Morrison for Coastal Carolina, Ethan Kleinschmidt for Oregon State, absolutely 2 of the top probably 15 arms in the country in this ballpark, and I'm going to just trust them. So I'm going to take their first 5 under 5 runs. I got it at minus 120. I think it's still available at minus 125. I didn't want to touch the full game just because at the end of the day, these are college bullpens. So anything can happen with metal bats. But I do really trust this ballpark, like you said, and then trust these 2 starters to keep it very low scoring through at least the first 5 innings.
Nick, we had LSU and Arkansas go at it last night. LSU comes out on top there in that one. As you were looking at those 2 teams play, they go in as the top 2 on the odds board heading into the game. Did it play out like you thought? Do you think that those two are the 2 best teams there in Omaha? And is Arkansas still worth maybe a play even coming out of the loser's bracket?
Yeah, I think right now they might be worth it more than they were before. They have the deeper bullpen and deeper starting staff than LSU. They just came in and ran into a buzzsaw last night with Cade Anderson. Coach DVH said it best in his press conference last night. And he said, when a pitcher that good has all 3 pitches working, it's just, you're going to run into trouble. And that's what happened. I think right now I saw the odds came out for number one overall pick, and Cade Anderson has the second best odds to get drafted number one. So when the pitcher that good is just on his game, that can happen. Luckily, though, he's probably done until maybe Thursday or Friday. If Arkansas could force that game seven, I think he would come back and pitch, so they'd have a second shot at him. But yeah, I really do like that. I like the number now with Arkansas at plus 600. I think that's worth a sprinkle, depending on what you already have in pocket. And on the other side, I think Coastal comes out. I have, like I said, I would play Coastal tonight on the money line. I think it was just a little bit too juiced. I think our site at collegebaseballinsiders.com has it minus 104 to plus 104. So it's very even. But I do think Coastal is the better team. So I like them coming out of the left side. So that's kind of the money futures wise that I would have.
Yeah, it's interesting to see Arkansas sitting there at 6-1 now. You mentioned it. They have the depth from a starting pitching perspective to be able to get through that loser's bracket. We'll have to beat LSU twice if they're able to get to the finals. Glad you mentioned Coastal. I think that they're an interesting play as well. They're sitting at plus 360. We've got Arizona and UCLA, or I'm sorry, Arizona. Yeah, Arizona and UCLA taking each other right now in the live game. If you see anyone being able to get out past Coastal and Oregon State, is Arizona a team you think could possibly make a run sitting at 65-1 to be able to get through the loser's bracket? Or does it feel like it's going to be the winner's bracket on that top side of the tournament?
It feels like it's going to be winner's bracket, but I think Arizona has probably the best and the hottest offense of those three teams. So I think if Arizona, what they would want in that case is, especially they're playing Louisville right now, they're up 1-0. Just heard at the press box that they scored. So they're beating Louisville. So I like them to advance through this one. I like Arizona. Like I said, I was on their money line. But what they'll have to have is they'll need to turn into a shootout against Coastal or Oregon State. But Coastal's pitching, Oregon State's pitching is not really inducive to give up that many runs, because Arizona is just not that deep after their top two starters, who they will have blown through after today. So it's tough, but that's also why the number is 65-1, right? It's a long shot, so it is worth a sprinkle. I don't hate it, but to me, it's still Coastal or Oregon State getting through on that left side.
We think Arkansas is worth a play at 6-1. You definitely like them against Murray State on Monday. We got UCLA and LSU, however, on Monday in the winner's bracket side of things. LSU about minus 250, about 2-1 there on UCLA. Does LSU keep it going?
They do. They do. UCLA had to burn up. They burned up six pitchers against Murray State. I don't think that was the plan. Murray State, they got up a 6-0 start. I think it was 6-1 then. And then Murray State climbed back and got it down to 6-4 and forced UCLA to burn through six arms. Now, with the day off, with how this bracket format goes, that can help, considering I think some of them went one inning. The max was 28 pitches, I believe, out of the bullpen. So they're still available, but they don't have the arms that LSU does. Anthony Ianson should be able to kind of carve them up. I think we've said it with him and Cade Anderson this year are kind of a 1A and 1B. There's not really a number two starter there. So I think they really do take care of business in UCLA. The only thing with UCLA is they've got a little chip on their shoulder for Rock Chalowski, their shortstop. I said it on one of our other shows before, like they named who the Golden Spikes finalists were. I said he was going to win the whole thing. And then he got left out as not even a top three finalist was shocking. And I don't know if it's a little East Coast bias or what it was, but I think he's the best player in the country, and he's definitely the best player here. And so like that is something where he has the ability to take over a game and put a team on his back. And if that happens, of course, UCLA is a hot option. But I think it just comes down to, like I said earlier, it's Arkansas or LSU to lose on that side. I thought about parlaying them tomorrow together, because last I saw was Arkansas was minus 500 against Murray State. And that's just a crazy number this time of year. And even to parlay them two together, though, is still minus 161. So that's not really touchable in this sport this late of year.
Now, we've talked about Cade Anderson quite a bit, one of the marquee players that's there in Omaha. A lot of people love watching the College World Series so that they can see who are these draft picks going to be, who's going to be taken high in the draft, who am I excited about seeing in the majors. What other players do you have your eye on here that are in Omaha that you think might be able to make an impact in the majors the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, okay, I'll give you two great ones tonight with Coastal Carolina and Oregon State. You're going to get catcher Caden Bodine for Coastal. He's a catcher that hits leadoff, gets on base a ton, does not strike out. He's also the number one rated defensive catcher in the whole entire country. Was starting catcher for Team USA throughout the summer. So he's going to be one that should be a first round, late first round, early second rounder. And then Ava Arquette, the shortstop for Oregon State, massive, kind of is a Cal Ripken kind of comp. I believe he's like 6'5", 220. Very rangy, very strong in the plate for his slot, like for how kind of lanky he is. Those are two shortstops. I think Ava Arquette is projected to be the very first bat taken off the board in the draft this year. So I think Ava Arquette and Caden Bodine are those two to keep an eye on, and they'll be on the same field tonight.
Nick, how many times have you made it to Rocco's, and how many Jell-O shots would you say you have consumed so far?
Not enough. I'm trying to keep it calm. Trying to work a little bit. Yeah, but I've been to Rocco's every day. Obviously, we were hanging out with all the VSIN guys and the circuit guys down there, well, with sponsorship and everything throughout the day. We got here, I got here Thursday morning, and we've been here every day, at least spent about 4 or 5 hours each day in Rocco's. contributed a bit to the scoreboard. Kind of had to, I guess we've given some to Murray State, some to Coastal. Don't want to give the big boys any, so. Yeah, we've helped the count a little bit.
I'm glad that you, because I was about to say, who gets your tick mark? And I'm glad you said you sprinkled it to the underdogs out there. I do appreciate that. He is Nick Hathcote. Again, catch his great work over at College Baseball Insiders. He is right there in the press box, so he has the firsthand experience of all this. Man, enjoy Omaha and enjoy the rest of today.
I appreciate it, fellas. Have a good one.
Mike, I like that he's going to go in and he's like, you know what? I sprinkle it to the underdogs on the board.
Yeah, there. Why not?
You know,
give the racers some love.
Gonna make sure that he's not helping out the LSU number. That's for sure. I don't think that they need any help. Of course, guy, we did a College World Series betting guide. It's still useful for you if you want to go in VSiN.com/CWS. You can go in and take a look at all of that. The odds have moved LSU to +125 after that win over Arkansas. Coastal at +360. Remember Coastal, you might not be familiar with this, especially if you didn't pay attention to college baseball. Coastal Carolina won it all. It was back in 2016, but they have been to Omaha, and they actually won the title back in 2016. Oregon State +425. Arkansas, despite being in the loser's bracket, 6-1. UCLA 625, and then we get into huge numbers. Arizona 65, Louisville 70, and then Murray State all the way out at 250 there, Mike. Murray State going to get your money?
No Murray State money for me. Like Arkansas, I was really hoping to get 8-1, Matt. Like it's 6-1, and you have to beat LSU twice just to get to the series where you could possibly win it. Feels a little bit short to me. I kind of agree with our guest there. I think Coastal at +360, the play for me if I'm getting in live right now.
And then it's fine. It's just, you know, LSU's going to win it all. And, you know, it's you can put the 360 bet in if you want to.
+125 is not fun, Matt.
It isn't. It's not fun at all. Guys, when we come back, we'll update you on all the scores going on out there in Major League Baseball. We'll take a look at some of these props available for the NBA Finals Game 5.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown and Mike Somich getting ready for the first race of my $144 pick six ticket that I put in. 720 different race bets that I have going. Mike,
what could go wrong?
I need 159. 159.
159. All right.
Here in the first
one. We're 0 minutes to post.
Okay. So I could be
done. I've got 3579.
Oh, no.
Wait, the 5 or the 9 could win. You never know.
You played a whole bunch more than me, though, in this first one.
I went 4 deep here. I like the 3 at 8-1 as my top pick if anyone out there wants to try and get a little sprinkle. Now Matt's all nervous. Look at that face. Look at the nervous face on Matt because he doesn't have the 3 in there.
I don't see. I went conservative at the front and then started putting more in towards the back once I like, because then I figure if I make it that deep, then you know, I want to have more shots.
It's a very common mentality when you're playing these tickets. People are like, if I lose, I want to lose early and just be out so I don't have to pay attention. And then I'll get more aggressive late. Very few people like to single in the last race or just have one horse they're live to in the last race. They want that opportunity to be able to go out there and see if they can have a big score late.
All right. Well, let me know if I'm dead when this is all said and done. 159 is where we're at here for this one. JJ Spahn goes out and bogeys the first hole. Victor Hovland pars it. So now we have Sam Burns as your outright leader. Adam Scott is now outright second. Now they are playing. They are through. Oh, Scott bogeys one as well. So,
Burns
now
two up on the field.
Up on the field. Oh boy, what a swing in hole one.
Carlos Ortiz bogeys two, Cam Young two under through three. So Cam Young now up to T5 at one over, but Burns four over leading the tournament, Scott and Spahn at two under, Hovland at one under, and then Cam Young and Ortiz at one over.
I have a top 10 on Xander Schauffele, and I said, hey, man, just don't mess this up, bogey 14. Hey. just like that. Bogey's 14, falls to T14. Great.
Yeah, I'm sweating Ben Griffin today. That's my sweat. I've got top 10, top 20. He's T14, one over through eight right now. Happy he parred eight. Just par eight, par nine. Let's get to the back. Play one under, and I think I'll be good.
It is so funny how you can just speak something into existence, even when it's like the word. I'm like, you know, as long as you just don't mess this up, Xander. I'd like it'd be nice to kind of backdoor.
Don't do this.
Yeah, it'd be nice to kind of backdoor top 10 with him, considering no one's really talked about him all week. And then of course the very next hole he bogeys. So well, it is what it is. We're betting. Yeah. You know, we're betting. Speaking of betting, I'll go ahead and cash this. Chalk this up as a loss already. Yuri Perez has 49 pitches through two innings. So. He is not going to get to the five strikeouts, the requisite five strikeouts that I need. What we have right now is a guy that must be like nipping the corners. And Mike, through two innings, they have fouled 16 balls off. Two innings in the Nationals. The Nationals have fouled 16 balls off through two innings.
That is a lot of foul balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what can I do? There's nothing I can do. Like that's just
probably doesn't have his A stuff. Yeah. I'll go out on a limb here.
Yeah. So there it is. That one's going to be a loss. That said, the Marlins are up 2-1 there on the Nationals. The Tigers came back and got the lead in the bottom of the seventh over the Reds, and then have given up a four spot here in the top of the eighth. So the Reds now top of the eighth have a 6-4 lead over the Tigers. Reds. You mentioned that about the consistency from them. They are a game over 500, Mike. So, I mean, they are live. This team is still live. It's not like they're not live. This team is definitely still live. Matt McClain, by the way, has been terrible for them. A guy that was supposed to be really, really good for them. Hitting 187 on the season, doesn't even have a 300 OBP. I mean, maybe if he can start swinging the stick just a little bit. They just got Encarnacion Strand back off of the IL. Not saying it's a bet to be made. It's maybe a bet to monitor.
Yeah, look, this is one of those teams where you have the names in the pitching rotation where if they actually can be good, this is a team that could produce. You've got guys like Abbott. You've got guys like Green. And then you have these bats that have not consistently hit. And because of that, you just see a Reds team where they're kind of middling. But they have the talent to compete. Obviously, the Cubs playing very well on the top end. So it would be tough for them to make a run. But at the same time, it is a team where I'm interested to see what they can do. Right now, 17-1 to win the division feels, you know, about right for what they should be. But it's a team that does have the talent to be able to make a run. And got some bad news here, Matt.
Yes.
The two horse just took Gulfstream Park's first race in the pick six gate to wire at 30-1. So this thing is going to pay stacks.
So,
yeah, we're out.
We're already out. We're already dead.
Yeah, we're dead. Yep.
Okay. Well, that actually is, you know what? It makes me feel better. It honestly makes me feel better. I don't have to watch it anymore. So there we go. All right. Dunzo. 30-1.
It was a weird race, man. The break was strange. They were all over the place. No one really went with the two, and the two just kept going.
Bad news for Blewett. He's out of the game.
Yeah. Got 2 2/3, only missed two bats in the entire time. Ends up with 1K, can't quite get to the two, so that one's not a winner. Bad news for J.J. Spahn and Victor Hovland, both bogey two. So Spahn now 2 over through two holes, Hovland 1 over through two holes. Sam Burns up by 2 over Adam Scott. He's solo second now, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, Burns, there's one key to Burns, and if he is going to putt well, we know that for sure. With all he just got it. If he can keep it in the fairway, he's going to win this thing.
He's going to be dangerous.
He has sprayed it off the tee for a year and a half now, which is why, I mean, nobody on planet Earth has bet Sam Burns more than me. And I know this for sure. Nobody on planet Earth has bet more on Sam Burns than me. I have no exposure to him to win this tournament. So if he wins, you know, so be it. But I did not think, I thought the driver was going to bury him like this week. I mean, he has been good. And I don't know if he changed something up. He figured something out. I don't know what's going on with all of that, but it has not killed him. And he does everything else good enough to where he can protect a lead like this. So as long as he can keep it from, you know, being in that 5-inch rough, Mike, he's going to win this thing. But there's still a lot of golf to play, and maybe he loses the driver at some point.
Well, you just look at the top of the scoreboard right now. Everyone over par except Cam Young, who is 2-under in the top 10. So it's there's definitely strokes being given back right now by the people at the top of this leaderboard. Bob McIntyre just eagles number 4. So he gets back to even for the round. If he had not bogeyed 2 of the first 3, that would have mattered.
That could have been. Yeah, that could have been fun. Let's do a little bet it or book it here for the game 5 NBA Finals. SGA double-double at plus 290. I would book this, Mike, as opposed to bet it. SGA, they've kind of changed the strategy with him, which is he is not being the facilitator. He's just really being a scorer here in this. They don't even have him like bringing the ball up and stuff really anymore. They're trying to make sure that he is just like saving as much energy as possible and then being the scorer they need him to be, which actually worked out for them very well in the fourth quarter to be able to come back and win the game this past week. I think they stay with the same strategy. I think he is not going to be distributing the ball. So I would book this as opposed to bet it.
Yeah, I would book it as well. What's the second category? Assists? Like, it's not going to be rebounds, right? So it has to be assists. Plus 290 to get 10 assists? No thanks. I mean, because he's going to get 10 points. So it's just, does he get the 10 assists? I don't. Based on, like you said, the way that they're stylistically playing the offense and the fact that that means you need guys knocking down shots, which I don't really trust this team to knock down shots, just 3 3-pointers in game 4. I don't know how he gets to double digit assist numbers here, Matt. So I'd book that as well.
Halliburton 20 plus points at plus 155.
This one's tough.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet it. I think we do see Halliburton be more aggressive in game 5 than what we have seen. It's one of those situations where the price is right about correct to me. We talked about this last weekend when we saw Halliburton be a little more of a distributor early. He's not someone who really hunts his shot, but I do think you see a little more aggressive version of Halliburton, especially on the road in game 5. So I'll bet it at plus 155.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and so it's one of those bets where I hate like giving out like bets whenever there's no, you can't play him anymore because of the way that things have gone down. But like, I played Halliburton over 1.5 turnovers because of the same thing that you said. Like, I think he's going to be ridiculously aggressive in this game. And if he has a ton of usage and has the ball in his hands a ton, well, there's more opportunities for turnovers. The problem is I think a lot of people saw that it was at 1.5 and were like, hey, this is way too low. And so the juice is now up to like minus 167. I can't recommend that at that play, but it was more me just compounding what you're saying, which is I do believe that he's going to be aggressive in this game. If you are aggressive with the ball in your hands, that means there's more opportunities for turnover. So that's kind of why I went in that direction with him for sure. I would play it as well at plus 155. I think he's going to be hoisting up stuff left and right. Now, he could shoot very poorly and then it not get home, but I think we're going to see a lot more from him in this one.
Yeah, I would look at his points plus assists prop. I do think you're going to see a situation where he's got the ball in his hands almost the entire time for the Pacers, and I do think he is more aggressive offensively than what we've seen in a few of the past games of the finals.
If you haven't done so already, you can try out being a VSiN Pro subscriber for as low as $9.99, and with that, you get that splits page. We know that you love it. Go over there. You can see where people are betting, where the money is going over on DraftKings, as well as Circa. You can compare, contrast, and maybe it's a tiebreaker for you as you try to make a bet. VSiN.com/subscribe.
Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, Matt Brown and Mike Somich, as we come back to what has been just complete carnage so far over in early on here at the U.S. Open. Burns has dropped. Adam Scott has dropped. J.J. Spawn has dropped. Victor Hovland has dropped. Cam Young just hit it into the out of bounds area, so he is likely to bogey the hole he's on. This is again, there is a 3-under in the clubhouse, but that said, it's Rory McIlroy and he played earlier. This course could be baking out, Mike, like right in front of us. It looks like it's going to be a tough go out there, and maybe maybe more chaos, maybe more craziness than we thought, than we expected.
We will see. Burns just put it in the fairway. So that was at least a nice chance to bounce back here on three of the top 20 players, Matt. One is under par today, and that is Cam Young, who is two under. One of the top 20 currently under par. A lot of them early in their round as well. So I haven't even gotten to some of the more deadly holes here. Hovland with a birdie putt on three here. He's in a great spot, man. You watch how Spahn's playing. You see Burns off the tee. It feels like Hovland's in a nice position here if he can just figure out how to get it going, because Spahn's going to end up bogeying, if not double bogeying here on hole number three as well. So it's a mess out there right now.
We have a free newsletter. You go to VSiN.com. It's right there on the front page. You can sign up. It's free. Bill puts it into your mailbox every single day, and sometimes there are picks attached. Today, we have Steve Mackinnon talking NASCAR in there. This is actually going from Mexico City, Mike. It is the first international race since 1958. It's going to be 100 laps on a 2.5-mile road course, and this is just coming from the newsletter as a road race. No surprise to see Shane Van Gisbergen on the pole and atop the final projections. So yeah, if you had him and you thought that and whatnot, so there we have that. Again, we don't do a ton of NASCAR, me and Mike, but we can tell you that the simulations that Steve Mackinnon ran has Larson, Van Gisbergen, Gibbs, Chastain, and Elliott as his top five finishers. The underdogs that also showed well in the simulations were Gibbs, Priest, Briscoe, McDowell, Allmendinger, and Suarez. And then some of the favorites that did not do so well in his simulations were Bell, Bush, Reddick, and Bowman. Are you going to take the opportunity to bet someone named Van Gisbergen? Van Gisbergen.
It feels like I might need to. I also love Allmendinger. We've talked about his name before on the show, so he's someone I got to at least consider. How much are you unloading the Brinks truck on Briscoe? Just one B in the top five and the underdogs to consider. The lone B is Briscoe here, Matt.
Yeah, I guess we got to put something in on him just to keep with the theme of everything. I mean, I have nothing to root for now, considering my all our horses are done.
The horses are just done.
Here's what I don't want to do is check and see if all the rest of them would have won.
I did not ask you who else you have in the rest of the sequence,
because you don't,
just for that exact reason.
Yeah, because you don't want to know that. Like, that would be the worst. So I'm definitely not gonna do that. All right, guys, we're gonna bring back a segment here that we used to do each and every show, and maybe, you know, once we get a little bit closer to the NFL season, we'll certainly fire it up a little bit more. But we go across, we find some news, and we'll let you know whether it's good or bad.
Is it good news?
I got great news, guys.
Or is it bad news?
What type of news is it?
Well, to be perfectly frank, it's bad.
Well, Mike, apparently Shedeur Sanders, quote, made an impression at Browns minicamp. We know what that quarterback room looks like. You and I both just assumed that he would end up winning the job, if not right out of camp, but at some point early on in the season, as it is anyway, but apparently made an impression at Browns minicamp. If you're the Browns, it's kind of no harm, no foul, right, to go ahead and play Shedeur Sanders. We're already getting some of the beat writers who I don't think have an agenda really in any of this, who are like, Dylan Gabriel doesn't look like an NFL quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. They're like, this guy doesn't look like he can play in the NFL. So you got to see what you have in Sanders, right? I mean, like, you're the Browns. What is your future hold if you don't know what you have in Sanders? I mean, this quarterback room is an absolute disaster.
That was the crazy part about taking Gabriel. It was when you took him and he was the guy you took. There were other quarterbacks on the board who I would have been much more interested than Dylan Gabriel. You end up getting Shedeur late in the draft. I think it was actually a blessing in disguise for the Browns to be able to get to Shedeur. I think he's going to start. We've talked about this. I think he's someone that you have to look at in the rookie of the year market, because you're going to get 17 starts out of him if he's able to stay healthy. And I'm not surprised he made an impression. He's got athletic skills. Like, there are, he doesn't have the strongest arm, but he is fast. He's able to scramble around. He's able to do some things. And you look at Dylan Gabriel and what he was done. If you're getting compared to between the two, I would be surprised if Shedeur Sanders didn't make an impression when you're standing next to Dylan Gabriel and playing. So I think this is good news for the Browns, good news for our Rookie of the Year tickets, and good news for Shedeur Sanders, who after that slide looks like he's going to get the opportunity in Cleveland.
We are looking at the wins market for the Browns. Over 4.5, minus 160, Mike. Under 4.5, plus 135. So you get plus money on them to go 4-13. That's tempting. That's tempting.
I think it's a little, I still don't, do you think this defense is going to be good? Are we going to see the bounce back from a defense that was very good a couple years ago, still has marquee players out there? And then what are you going to get from this offensive line that's been absolutely destroyed the last 2 years by injury? I think those are the two keys for the Brown seasons, because I do think when healthy and if their defense is playing well, they're frisky. They've got teams like the Dolphins, they've got the Jets, they've got the Raiders all on the schedule, the Titans as well. Like, there are winnable games here, and that's before we even bring the Steelers into the conversation, where we don't really know what to expect with them, with Aaron Rodgers as well.
Yeah, I think the problem here with this Browns offensive line just is they're older now. You mentioned all the injuries and all of that, and I understand they were kind of in and out of the lineup, and there was all kinds of nonsense going on last year with this squad, but not a single one of them rated and graded out well at all. You're talking Conklin, Teller, Pochich, Betonio, all of them right in that 50th percentile kind of grade type deal, according to Pro Football Focus. So maybe they bounce back. Maybe an offseason of getting healthy can work for them. But if this offensive line is middling and you're out there with Shedeur Sanders, this could get
problem.
This could get bad. Yeah, this could get bad. Yes. It doesn't matter what your defense looks like.
Yeah, it's funny. Age has caught up to this Browns team in a lot of ways. It felt like they were very well situated. Then you have the Chubb injury. That kind of eliminates him from the situation. Obviously, Deshaun Watson doesn't work out. And now the offensive line that was a dominant piece to this team is 2 years older, 3 years older than it was when it was dominant and has gone through all these injuries. It's just, it's tough. It's a tough spot for him.
Daniel Jones reportedly, quote, very sharp at Colts minicamp with Anthony Richardson hurt. I say this is good news if you're a Colts fan, because I think Daniel Jones gives you the best chance to win over Anthony Richardson, considering what we saw from Anthony Richardson last year. That's not to say, Mike, that I don't think Anthony Richardson at some point could be a starter in the NFL, but I think we had a decent enough sample size last year to see that the game was just a little too fast for him. Certainly did not make any sort of progression from a completion percentage standpoint, and that was the accuracy was the big thing that we were worried about coming out of college with him. I think Daniel Jones, let's just be honest, Mike, do we know for sure Daniel Jones is terrible? He's been surrounded by bad players up there in New York. I can't say for certain he's terrible.
I don't know should I defend Daniel Jones again? I was the one guy who's like, that contract's not awful because it's just a 2-year deal. You'll find out what you got. I think this is actually a good situation for Daniel Jones. I wouldn't be shocked if he's actually decent in Indianapolis. I don't think this is a very good team, but the offensive line is better. You've got a better running back. You've got, I think it's a we'll call it a push from a coaching perspective, from an offensive coordinator, from Dable to Steichen. Like, I don't think that's necessarily a downgrade if you're looking at Daniel Jones. He's got some wheels. He can run around a little bit. That's kind of what Steichen wants anyway. If he can stay healthy, I don't see why this is a bad thing for the Colts, and especially with everything going on with Richardson, where we have no clue when we're going to have a healthy Richardson, what we're going to get from a healthy Richardson. Yeah, I think this is a huge positive for the Colts.
And I mean, in that division where we're kind of like, anything could happen here. You're looking at a 7.5 win total for this team, Mike. So you could win a win total bet with this team, not even going 500, you know, going over 500. Am I going to be a buyer on the Colts?
God, I know. I feel the same way. And I don't know if I want to be a buyer on the Colts. I was a buyer on the Colts last year. Everything just went to hell and high water. I was a buyer on Daniel Jones. I thought that he could be able to get something going the Giants after they made that playoff run. And he just hasn't been able to get it going either. But you mentioned it, like, the Titans are going to stink.
Yeah.
Do we trust the Jaguars? Like, what about Indianapolis finishing second in this division?
Right.
Give me a Texans Colts top two exacta.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I might be a buyer on the Colts, especially now that's Daniel Jones. Like, I would not if it was Anthony Richardson. I like Daniel
Jones. Who knew Daniel Jones would get you in to be a buyer on the Colts?
Guys, if you want to play in one of the contests here for free, head to winnercircleproxy.com/Visa. Enter a contest. They're going to give away a Circa Millions entry. They're also going to give away a Circa Survivor entry as well as a proxy service. So you don't even have to live here. You just got to come in town and sign up for this whole thing. So winnercircleproxy.com/Visa. Sign up to win a Circa Millions entry and a Circa Survivor entry.